Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Good evening, Blog Talk listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you right now, Young Donovan. The problem we're facing right now is we're losing our children.
I'm so sorry about that. I am very sorry about that. But I want to say again, good evening, Blog Talk listeners, my sisters, my friends. Thank you for joining in tonight with us. It is such a blessing to have you to join us tonight. This program is designed to inform, encourage, uplift, and undergird all women of all ages, cultures, nationalities, education, business women, housewives, students, singles, married, and believers in God. Tonight, we are so blessed to have a topic that we think that a lot of ladies are in tune with. We want to talk about the reality shows that are affecting our women and see how you're feeling tonight about these different types of shows. But first, I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I'm going to open with a prayer to ask God to help us. First of all, would you bow your heads, dear God? We just thank you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for giving us the mindset to want to help our sisters and want to give them the strength and the courage to go forward day by day with all the things that are going on in this world. Gracious Master, would you help us to understand tonight about the things that are going on? Would you just be with us? Would you help us not to be controversial, but informative and friendly and loving toward each one of our sisters that will be calling in tonight, because there will be several different opinions and comments going on. God, keep us in your will, keep us in your way, and keep us as we go forward. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So, ladies, thank you for calling in tonight. And also, I have one of our dear panel members on. She's been away from us for a while, but I'm so glad to have her back. Say hello, Carol.
Hello, everyone. Hello, sisters.
Thank you. And Zakiya, you going to go ahead and say hello also?
Hello, ladies.
All right. Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and get started and open this discussion with this very question that I have. I wanted to just ask you ladies about tonight and get your opinion. And first, you can tell me if you watch reality shows and what impact it has on you as a person and you as you're in your Christian walk or just being a female, period. Because I was looking at Jake's one night on his new show. I forget what the name of it is, but he was talking to one of the baseball wives, and she was just giving some exclamation about the show, and it kind of baffled me about really what's going on with them. So, Carol, if you would like to go ahead and start the conversation, I would be more than happy.
Sure. I'll start by saying I am a person that has, as what we call, some of people call our guilty pleasures. I do partake in watching some of the reality programs that are all listed on the TVs these days. And I got to say, there's so many that I'm almost running out of room and time to keep up with them. Like, at some point, you know, you can't sit and watch TV all day and forever. But so I have taken out the time to get a selective few that I think I relate to. And I'll be totally honest with everybody tonight. While it is some form of entertainment, you know, my educational background leads me to be a sociologist. I have a social science and a sociology degree. And so part of my watching is something that's tuned in for me from the get-go. I love watching human behavior. I find it fascinating and everything. While, like I said, while it may be a form of entertaining for me, it is a thing that's intrigued me since day one. Since I got here, I was asked the question as to why people do what they do when I was 5 years old, getting on my mother's nerves. So, you know, that's the reason now. Some of my favorite ones, I'll give a real quick list, and, you know, I let everybody else tell this, but I do watch The Housewives of Atlanta. I watch Love and Hip Hop. Every now and then I watch Black Ink. One of my new favorites is The Preachers of L.A. That is a really interesting one. And I took on one, a brand new one last night. I believe it's called... It's also about a pastor, gospel singer's family, Ben Watson, and they talk about, and their focus of their show is how God wants us to be wealthy. I'll think of it in a minute because it just all of a sudden left me. And so those are a few of the ones that I watch as far as reality programs are concerned. Duck Dynasty is another one I watch. It has a Christian overtone to it. In fact, so much so that you can find Duck Dynasty in the Mardell Christian stores and whatnot. So, you know, while they're extremely funny, and, you know, a lot of people are like, you watch Duck Dynasty, but I tell you, y'all, it's the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. But so those are the few of the ones that I watch. And check out, and I think that I find interesting. Anything that tends to be too nasty, too catty, too messy, you know, I kind of stay away from it now. I can't say that Housewives of Atlanta doesn't teeter on that. They do. They go there, especially as grown women. But again, there's some things about those women that are on there that I think a lot of women that watch it can relate to. So that's my gist. That's where I am with the reality programs.
Okay. Do you find that say the overtones in them are too explicit, or according for the way society is today, or the way that we should conduct ourselves as women of God, or just Christians in general? What is your take on that?
Well, my take on it is, as Christian women, I think that not even just with reality television programs, with any television program, if you stand for something with regards to your walk with Christ, then you're going to be selective on what you watch anyways. You know, it doesn't even have to be a reality program. It can be a movie. It can be a game or something that they have, some of these dating shows. I mean, it can be that thing. I think if you let that guide you, there's just certain things you're just not going to watch anyway. There are certain things for me that can just be too silly. I just can't get too silly, where if there's no intellectual substance to it, I almost can't sit there and watch it. Like, it'll just wear me out. So I leave that to the younger folks. Like kids, not, you know. But as far as my Christian values go, you know, like I said, it's one of those TV programs. Like, I think it's the Bad Girls Club that gets, they all they do on that show, it tends to, they do a lot of cursing, a lot of explicit conversation, a lot of fighting, and that kind of thing. They get out there. I mean, that they take it a bit far, but again, that's a show that's geared towards a really young audience, and the kind of things that they do is what a lot of some young women are into, and some young women aren't. I have watched that show on occasion because I am amazed that women, the way women are, you know, I look at it from a sociological standpoint, the way that women can devalue themselves what they think for or what's valuable to them in society. And actually the main thing is what they equate with what is successful. You know, they equate things like material things, like if you have a pair of red bottoms, then you're like this, you're a boss chick, as they quote unquote, you know, you're a boss chick if you got red bottoms, or, you know, how much a guy is making, much money he's making that he gives you, or whatever the case may be, and how much women are willing to sell themselves out and take off their clothes or be exhibitionists in the club or wherever with people of the same sex or opposite sex. And so when it comes to that kind of stuff, you know, like I said, as a Christian, you know, there's some things you just, you know, you say, you know, this ain't for me. I mean, it may not even resonate with your spirit because of your Christian standing. And so some things, you know, just, you know, in my spirit, I'm just turned off by it. I can't get with it. It doesn't, you know, I can't resonate with it. But at the same time, like I said, I have captured some of those things because I am there at that point wondering, and in many ways almost saying, you know, I've said some prayers. Lord, I got to pray for our young women today if this is where we're going with this. And I think another thing I hope we'll touch on tonight is, you know, we talk about us watching them and in the context that we watch them in, but also one of the sociological questions that was brought up, and I read a website about this, is the idea of voyeurism. Why is it that we as a society want to look at these things? Why do we look at these things? While we say that what these people do is their behavior is somewhat questionable, but at the same time, why, as we in our behavior, why do we watch these things? What are we missing, or what are we getting from it that we even partake in watching reality programs anyway? And there's something to it because they have blown up as far as rate as TV is concerned. Y'all know I grew up in the Leave It to Beaver days, real innocent television. Lucy and her husband didn't sleep in the same bed. You know, I was lost. I didn't know where the baby came from. And, you know, so we've gone from one extreme to a totally different one. And, you know, the Brady Bunch and all that, you know, we had some real innocent television. And so that's kind of where I stand on that. As a Christian, I think you'll be selective no matter what it is, you know, whether it's reality program or not. You're just going to be selective in what you watch anyhow.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that question in just a second, a few minutes, then, because we're going to go ahead and ask Zakiya what her take is on watching and some of the shows that she watches and what kind of influence they might have on her. Zakiya?
I don't really respond well to the reality shows. I'm not a fan of them. I tried watching the Love and Hip Hop mess, and I'm just not really interested in it. It aggravates me, and so therefore I choose not to watch them.
Okay. We did try to watch those together, and that Love and Hip Hop, is that the one that I was trying to watch with you?
Yes, we were watching with Thor. Yes, yeah, that just didn't work for me. And as she could vouch for me, I don't understand the silliness of the women and the cadence and going back and forth. And I know that there are women out there that act like that, and I choose not to associate myself with people of that nature. So why am I going to sit there and watch it? It's just going to vex my spirit. So therefore, you are what they say. You are what you eat. You are what you consume and through your eyeballs as well. So I'm not into the watching of that stuff. I rather have something that enriches my soul or makes me laugh. And that is not funny to me, nor does it enrich me at all.
Okay. So do you think some of the attitudes and the behaviors of those women on those shows are inappropriate for our younger generation of women coming up? Or Carol asked, why do you think that they watch those shows? What would be the reason for that?
They call it entertainment. Coming from an entertainment background or whatever, it's not entertaining. And just coming from, you know, just being a woman myself, I don't see how it could be entertaining to anyone to even want to be involved in that type of lifestyle. And sometimes people watch that, to me, people watch that to get out of their own sorrow and mess. To you know, get away from what their day-to-day life is in order to see or glorify another individual, which nobody on there is really being glorified or edified in any magnitude. It's not even imaginable of what, you know, their life really tells. And I think most of that stuff is fictitious, and I can see straight through it. And they're not happy, and they're not happy portraying this supposedly life, and I don't want to involve myself in watching anything of that nature. So my whole take on it is that it's silliness. It needs to be taken off the air. We can't find real shows. We can't have real writers create real shows, because that's not reality either. Reality is your everyday life, and life is not that messy all the time. And I'm sure you have some messy moments and you have messy people around, but life is just not that messy completely all the time.
Okay. We have some other callers on the line. Would anyone like to speak on the subject or give us a comment?
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is LaShawn. I would like to speak on it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm not into the reality shows, but like the other ladies, I do agree that the shows are not really reality. What is reality in a sense, depending on what type of lifestyle you're actually living? Because what they're actually capturing is the silly side of life, you know. And they're instead of actually taking time to write out something that's not super messy, they're just basically putting it out there as if the whole world is going crazy, which it is. But I don't think that it should be advertised as fun and games, as if they're, like, the way that they're putting it out there is not funny at all. There's nothing funny actually about the reality shows that they have at the moment. And it is gotten a whole lot of women into believing that you have to be those kind of women in order to make it in this world, and that's not cool at all. And it has no biblical principles inside any of the reality shows that's actually out here now, period. They don't teach the Bible. They don't speak of the Bible, in which people still have the Bible in their regular everyday lives. Everybody's not, I agree with the last lady that spoke, everybody is not super crazy all the time. You do meet people that's outspoken and acting crazy and carrying on like they do on the TV shows, but everyone's not that type of a person. But we have to also keep in mind that that is actually television, and you teach your kids and the people that surround you, and you have to know yourself that, hey, this is just television. This is just something to look at, something to watch. Mm-hmm. And if you choose to watch that, then that's up to you. But, yeah, I did like Lucy and stuff like that. I love Lucy still to this day.
Yeah.
I don't like the new reality, Love and Hip Hop, none of that. All that, we can see that every day if we go to the hood. So, I mean, that's crazy.
Okay.
And that's my outlook
on
it.
Go ahead.
No,
hello?
Go ahead. Hello?
LaShawn, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey.
Are you all there?
Yes, we are.
Hey, how are you? I think
we
are. Your phone missing.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm still here.
Okay, well, we can all just finish discussing this. Is there anybody else
that
has something that they would like to say about the reality shows?
Yeah, I mean.
Hello?
Go ahead.
I was going
to
say that.
Is there anybody else who would like to discuss it?
Do we have some callers or something that were?
Well, we cannot see who's currently on the line or who was calling. Ladies, we're going to go ahead and continue to, Ms. LaShawn gets back on the line. Topic at hand was indicating who else has information on the reality shows or what shows are relevant to today's society. We have discussed what the reality shows are, how they appeal to individuals. What do you think that young people can benefit off of if we would create, let's say if we went to our own world and created another show, asking the question posed to LaShawn, what type of show would you create for our younger youth?
Well, for younger youth, I would create something more. I might be old time, y'all. I might be old fashioned, y'all. But something more like what Lucy and them used to do, where you didn't actually see the they still put real life into it. Like, you see Ricky and Lucy kind of have little arguments and stuff like that, but something more child-friendly, something more something to lighten your day, and actually something to watch that'll actually brighten your day instead of just making you feel as if it's a struggle all day every day. When you sit down and watch television, you want to be more relaxing. You know, something comical, something kid friendly, not nothing that's constant fighting and dramatized fighting. Maybe I like the Tyler Perry movies. I mean, a lot of people don't like the Tyler Perry movies. If they make like a regular reality show off of that, maybe, you know?
Something really real. I'm sorry, y'all. I had technical difficulties on my end, so I'm back now. Thank you for continuing the conversation.
Well, you're welcome. I'm just going to catch you up to speed. Well, I've just posted the latest because you were not on the line. I do apologize that we went ahead and went on without you. You're welcome. The information I stated to you, to the ladies on the line, is that if we were to create our own show for the youth of today, what type of show would you create? And then that's the information that you just heard. She stated that you create a comical show, something to enlighten your day. And I want to agree with that. I will create a show more of like in living color with improv and just fun, silly stuff. Yes, you can be fun and silly and be grown and still laugh out loud and fall out your seat. Something like the Martin show where he had he was still married or dating to marry someone, and they had everyday occurrences. And the fights and stuff that Martin had or with Shanae or other individuals, Tommy Hearns and people, it was still comical. You never seen interaction of real scuffle. You never seen any drama, any hurt. You never heard sirens of indication of someone in a hospital. You would just, like, cut scene and then see him all beat up and bruised, and everything was funny, you know. And I would let the kids know that life is not as hard and harsh all the time. You can enjoy your life. You can have comical moments, and you can be at peace. You don't have to surround yourself with messiness. You don't have to put up with just anything for money. And you can just sit back, enjoy yourself, make your own wealth, and still be amongst a group of people. And you can be amongst people who love you, or you can be amongst people who you just associate yourself with. You don't have to suck up or kiss up to anyone or be in a group just because of who you hang out with or just because of who you're dating. Be yourself.
I like to answer that question. And first of all, I think it would serve us to differentiate between, you know, there are the shows that have been just mentioned that, you know, those are sitcoms and those are created sitcom comedy dramas, whereas reality program actually is supposed to be based around people just allowing cameras to watch them on their everyday life. And they call it reality TV because actually whatever they're doing is like reality. It's really what they're doing during the day versus, you know, the sitcoms that we watch with the Martins and the whatnot. Those are written and created and practiced and performed like a play. But like to your point, though, those are very good programs, and they are funny. But even within those, I want to say, just you know, not saying I'm going to play the WWE, I want to say, in defense of some of the programs that that are on TV, there are some things that are our value item. I have been watching the ones where that features some of the religious families on the show, and you do come to realize that even though they have all the fame and success, they still have the same types of problems us non-famous, non-wealthy people have. And, you know, so that kind of brings us, that type of reality is good for people to know. And for sometimes they are encouraging. They do pray on television. They do those things. And they do let people know that if they work hard, they can do something with their lives as well. Maybe not what they're doing, but something with their lives. There are, in some cases, there are some people who are putting out some good messages in the thing. And to your point about Tyler Perry, like all of his shows have a lesson to be learned from what he does at the end. And he does interject, you know, biblical overtones within the, his plays and his sitcoms and things of that nature. And I, for one, totally grew up on like a very conservative, to your point, just not old-fashioned girl. I was right there with you. I mean, that was, to me, that was wholesome, healthy television back in the day. You didn't have to worry about what your child was watching on television when they sat us down in front of the television back in the day. Nowadays, you better come in the room and check, because all of it can go left at any given moment in time. But, you know, to that point.
You're right, even
the cartoons. Even with the cartoons, I know I had to catch some cartoons and cut them smooth off because they were saying and doing some things on there I didn't even know cartoons did. And I said, those aren't the kind of cartoons, Looney Tunes, that do all that. But I will say that, you know, with reality television programming, and I think one of the ladies alluded to this, you know, you can't let that be an influence on your life. Like she said, you're responsible for teaching your children what's real, what's not, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. Nothing on television should influence anybody in that nature, whether you watch it or whether you don't. You know, because you can sit here and there are people that are real that are around us that we do see in day-to-day life that can be a bad influence. No cameras, no nothing, just action. But I will say that if I had to develop a program for children to watch or a reality program for children, it would probably be a program where, you know, we follow the lives of children who are turning their lives around and who are mainly taking their, you know, learning new skills and taking their lives and going out and giving back to the community that they come from and be an example to other children who may watch that they can turn their lives around and change for the better. We do have something similar to that in Scared Straight. I mean, it may be what it is, but some of those children do make some life changes after they've gone through that program, and they just have to see the reality of this is where you can go. And, of course, LaShonda, you and I know, having been ministers at the Cottrell House, you know, what that means for these kids to get a gist of reality about where their lives can go if they don't make some right decisions and if they don't get their lives right with Christ. And I don't, I'll be the first one to tell you, like, we ain't the perfect Christian every day. So there are some things that are just real about who we are. And that's what some of the ones that I watch with the Christian family, that's what they tell at the end of the day. Like Diedrich had said, at the end of the day, I'm a man too. So he comes clean on his show. One lesson that I was watching it and I learned, you know, one, he's trying to get his life together because he did go down the wrong road as a pastor, not just a superstar gospel minister, but a pastor who was getting a divorce from his wife after 13, 15 years because of some infidelity on her part. And then before the divorce was final, he started dating a girl, and then they got together and they had a baby out of wedlock before the divorce was settled. And then after that, so he found her mother was dead on. Then they wanted to live together. Well, you had the oldest generation, first lady's telling her, she says, well, I think that, and it was strange to me because the young minister, the young people in the ministry versus the older people in the ministry have so different ideas about how men and women should come together as man and wife. And I just thought it blew my mind that Diedrich Haddon and his fiance thought it would be okay to live together. They're like, but that's what our society has begun to accept. And they thought it was okay, but her mom, who being from the old school Christians, like, no way, you know, y'all got to get married. And so the older school ministers told them the same thing. And so this young lady said, and this was her comment, she said, well, in a way, we're already married. I felt like when a man enters a woman, they've already joined together, they're already married. And then the older first lady said, no, that's what you call fornication. And I just ran around the room because, girl, she just put it out there and told it like it was. I said, boom. For a lot of people out there who are doing a lot of cohabitating, that needed to be heard. She said it. It needed to be heard. So if anybody's watching it, they got that night because that sure was the truth. And it's sad that some people have a misconception even in the ministry, she's fixing to marry a minister, and her thought process, because our society is so accepting of cohabitating, that it was okay to do that. But it took that old school first lady to say, no, honey, that, she said, when a man enters a woman, I'm sitting there with my mouth hanging open, like, does she really believe that? And she's about to be a first lady herself. And yet the older lady that is the head of tea, she's like, you know, when a man enters the woman, she said, no, that would be called fornication. And I just was like, glory be to God, because she told it like it was, right there on the spot. And that was a message right there within itself.
So actually, you were saying there is a positive side to that show, and there is a negative side to this show.
And bringing it into reality.
I'm listening to what she stated and watching the show briefly by flipping channels. There is the enlightening part of knowing that everyone is human in that show. Everyone falls short of the glory of God, as we all know, as we live and breathe every day. What I do not like about that is the exploitation of what they're saying that the pastors of today perceive in information. You have the older school Christians who are abiding by the laws of not just the land, but the law of the Bible. Then you have the newer found believers in the people who are to minister over our lives and be our shepherds, just going about everyday life and doing as others, you know, and that's the part that I do not really want to see, and that's not the part that I want to believe in my pastor and the shepherd of me or the flock that are doing, the one that I attend. I don't want him being like everyone else and just going along with society, and I will never want to believe that he is that type of man. I believe that he will want to steer me in the right direction, just as the older Christians want to steer him in the right direction. So, therefore, that's why I'm saying that some of that stuff, you do know it's not a reality show. Well, you do know it's a reality show. You know that it's not your current reality. Because everyone doesn't live the same life. But, yes, everyone does fall short and everyone does have different beliefs. So, of course, you're going to look at this thing and looking at other people and how they operate. But this person.
Okay, I have another question on that show that I've heard about all the glamour and all the money that these preachers make in L.A. and how they have these big lavish houses and all these nice cars and wear all this jewelry and all these $5,000 suits. And does it take all of that to be a minister? Are you trying to tell people that you can do this? You can do this and God will still be accepting when you got probably people in your congregation that getting put out their house tomorrow, or they don't have no groceries today. They on the system. They trying to get some help, but you are lavishing all this in front of them. Is that supposed to be a Christian preacher thing, or somebody explain that to me?
And that's the same thing as what I'm saying.
LaShawn, are you trying to talk, or Zakiya, are you trying to talk?
I was thinking.
She can go ahead, but I was trying to say it while I was on my mind, but she can go ahead.
Go ahead, Zakiya.
I was saying, it doesn't take all of that, and you do have individuals who may need help, and then you're still flashing, and that's not what the ministry was about. It wasn't about flashing. It was about reaching and teaching others, individuals, and a lot of pastors are soaking up dollars. And that's one of the things about going to big churches that I'm not really a fan of as well, because that pastor doesn't know you by name. When he's praying over you, he can't pray for you by my name, because I'm just a number. I'm just a check. I'm just a tithe. I need a pastor that can come to my bedside and lay hands on me and call me by name when he's talking to my Lord and Savior. You know, and it doesn't take all of that to be a pastor.
Okay.
Well, let me tell y'all my opinion. Now I might step on a couple of toes. Y'all know when I start talking to everybody, kind of give me a
call. Can you get that other blanket? I'm going to cover up with this, and I'm going to go to bed.
Okay.
I'm
going
to go to bed in a minute.
Okay, it doesn't take all that in order to show a person, like, in order to show a person that that's the way you're supposed to live. It don't take all that, the flying flashy stuff that the preachers and stuff have on and stuff. But I will say this, too. I don't like big churches either, but at the same time, I don't feel like I'm smaller time, so I can't say I'm just with the big time. So I'm smaller time, and I go to a church, and we're very small at the church that I go to. But I don't feel like we should have to feel lesser than what we are because we don't step up and actually get the things that we need as a person either. And I don't feel like they should have to hide the good things that they do have in order to make us feel better within ourselves. Now, that's something we have to handle and we have to pray about within ourselves. That's a self-esteem issue. And I know that I'm not going to be upset because these pastors done went forward and they done moved forward. Even with the reality shows, I'm not going to be upset with them for what they have. I'm not going to say that they don't need to show it. And I do understand that, yeah, people are still hungry inside their churches. And I feel like if they're handling those things as far as helping the needy and things of that nature, then I don't see what the problem is. They're supposed to be able to enjoy their wealth mm-hmm. as well. Evidently, they done went through something in order to get where they're at, in order to
Definitely.
Have those things. So I don't feel like they should have to hide anything from anybody because shouldn't nothing be a secret. When you should be proud of what you have, but don't be too
That's
proud.
Right.
Don't throw it in somebody's face. Now, I'm not doing as good as I would like to be doing at this point in my life, but I'm not going to get upset when somebody else has it. So, like, that stuff y'all said, like, don't get upset with the pastor and them because they got it going on, y'all. Some of that stuff be really theirs, and some of that stuff they really didn't earn, and I feel like they should have to hide it from nobody. It's not their fault that the other people not doing as good, but they are supposed to share. I do believe in sharing. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to reality, this is real life we're living in, and you're not supposed to have to hide your accomplishments from nobody to make other people feel better. I don't feel like that, but you don't supposed to boast and brag either, because you don't be too proud, because the same way the Lord gave it, he'll take it away. You get what I'm
That's
saying?
What
y'all don't with
I understand that. I understand that, but what about what the scripture says, that if it offends your brother,
and you feel like your pastor don't know you by name, I suggest you get up and you make yourself seen. I'm the kind of person that make myself known no matter where I'm at. So if I go to a mega church, the pastor will know that LaShawn Hunt is inside the building. He will know that. And I mean, y'all have to start opening your mouth. You know, it's a such thing as opening your mouth and getting noticed and putting yourself up close to where you need to be. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that. But you know,
sometimes you can't get to that point. You can't get to the pastor. They have bodyguards and things these days, and if you,
then that means
you know,
you need to move around.
Okay.
That ain't the place you
okay.
need to be, because that's not really
okay.
That's like a club.
I like,
that's like, you
I like to jump in on this.
Okay, come on.
If
come
I might
on.
Jump in. Can
Go
I
ahead.
Jump in on this one? I'm going to piggyback with all of them. I'm going to jump in and piggyback on Sister LaShondra, because I was loving what she was saying. Well, first of all, you know, I want to touch on a few points. One, let's, you know, I used to, some of these ideas, you know, that y'all just mentioned, I had the same way. But I did have to get clarity and be informed about something before I took a stand. And what people fail to realize, and even on some of these reality shows about this, they actually bring this to the forefront, because a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people stand back and say, oh, this and that, and this is what this is, and I can't deal with that. But here are a few things that I'm finding out in my research and in my inquiry, and even from these reality programs. Number one, a lot of times, I used to be the first person to say I didn't like large churches either, but I happened to belong to a large church for many, many years, and I did, and at first I thought I would have a problem with that because I felt like I would be lost in the crowd too. But when I joined that large church, the people were so warm and welcoming that I couldn't help it, and the Holy Spirit was there.
And when it came down to it, I didn't necessarily need the preacher to know my name. I needed God to know my name. And as long as God knew my name, because the Bible tells us that where a few are gathered in my name, that's church right there. So it ain't got to be between people. So anywhere from two to a quadrillion, long as we are there to worship God, that's all that matters. He don't need to know. I don't care if that man up there know me or not. I need to know that God knows that I'm in the building and that God is listening and knowing my heart in that building and is outside that building and when I go. That was one. The other thing is when we talk about these preachers who have bodyguards, one of the preachers on this thing, people, and this is the truth, I thought that same thing, and I hear a lot of ministers speak on this about these preachers who have bodyguards. But y'all, we live in a world that's crazy, and there are people who are fanatical and sometimes too extreme in their emotion towards these people, and they threaten these people. They threaten these ministers. There are some people who are of a different type of religious belief or Satanism, and they threaten the powerful men of God because of the work that they're doing in the church. These men are threatened. Their families are threatened. And like one of them said, if I got to do what I got to do to protect myself and to protect my family, because at the end of the day, when I'm through with all this right here, I'm still the man of my family, of my household. I still need to protect my wife and my children. So they had to get bodyguards, because one gentleman even came into the church on one of the ministers with a weapon and came down to the altar. So in some instances where we don't know the circumstances all the time, they're not doing that because they're like, ooh, I'm famous and everybody want to rush and touch me, blah, blah. They're doing that because they have received some real-life threats upon their own lives and their family's lives. There was one woman who believed she was married to the minister, but and believed that their children was Their children was her children and this minister's child too. And so you got some sick-minded people out there. And so we have to be mindful that and when you're a public figure, you're subjected to that kind of stuff, just like movie stars and things like that. So high-profile people get that same thing, just as, you know, some of these rap stars and things like that. And so that's the reason why they did. And the other thing, in terms of the money that they're making, just like T.D. Jakes, there's T.D. Jakes. There's some of these guys who don't even take a salary because they make their money off of their lectures, their speeches, their books, publications, their movie publications. T.D. Jakes has T.D. Jakes, his ministry, and then there's T.D. Jakes Incorporated, meaning that he makes his money off the books he writes, off of his appearances or whatever the case may be. He makes that money off of that for his family. And the reason why I think that they multiply in the fruits of their labor is because they sow a seed back into the ministry. Not only do they make that money, they pour it back in, and then God multiplies it. And so the Bible truly says to reap the fruits of your labor. And also I brought this to my nephew's attention because they do have the big homes. And this guy I watched last night, they have a 3-story, 13,000 square foot home, but the entire family lives in it. They came from the poorest of poor. The guy, Ben said he was so poor, his dad carried food stamps around in a money clip. And he said, I've been poor and rich is better. And he talks about, and I was talking about that, you know, can it be too much when we see their 7 cars and their big homes and the things, it's off the money that they make off, again, their own publications and whatnot. And I asked my nephew, who's a minister, about that, and he says, let's be clear. Because of them, some of them base their ministry on, you know, some people call it prophet ministry or whatever. But let's be clear in that God does not want us to. The Bible says he wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. And God does want us to prosper. And, you know, he does not want, and like my nephew said, the Bible says that heaven is, the streets are paved with gold, not with cement. And he makes the generalization that we have to be mindful that God does want us to prosper and to do well. And so it is nothing wrong when people in the church prosper and do well. And if they take their money and buy a nice car or buy a home, I'm like, well, I ain't mad at nobody. I mean, you do what you can, long as you can live within your means, you do what you can. And anytime somebody is doing good, especially African American people, trust me when I tell you, I'm praising God. Because we all know that society is set and ready for us to fail on every corner. So when we're out there and we work hard and we do well by ourselves. And if you want to go out, if it's your thing, we all have something that we like. Somebody has shoes. Somebody got bags. Somebody got cars. We have one thing that we probably got in our closet or our house, a whole bunch of it, that one specific thing, because that's our thing. But, I mean, maybe we can't do it on the large scale that some other people do, but we do do it in our own way. And that's okay, because God has said you should reward yourself when you work hard. Who wants to go to work Monday through Sunday, day of sun up to sun down, pay nothing but bills, and not have anything to show for all of your hard work? Treat yourself, enjoy it, reap the fruits of your labor. Once you do well, and if you sow a seed back into the ministry, if you sow a seed into other people, into other things, you can best believe God is going to multiply. And I think T.D. Jakes said people got mad when his church blew up and got big. He said, you know, if God's in it, it's going to get big. It's going to grow big. God is not a small God. He's not a God of very little. He's not he's not that kind of God. If this God is in it, then it should grow, you know. And so, you know, that's kind of my take on the whole thing with regards to them. I think me personally, you know, that may not be any of our styles to be that flashy. You know, all of us had a lot of money, we probably wouldn't even live like that. We'd probably be real low-key about it. You know, that's just us. But I can't say that everybody feels the same way that we do. And I can respect that. You know, I can respect that on any given occasion.
I don't feel that way myself. If I get a lot of money, I'm going to share it. But I'm not going to live like I'm scared to have money.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going
to
do it.
Okay, ladies. I want to take a break right now and see if there's anybody on the line with us tonight that has not made a comment or if they have something to say. This is your opportunity to give us your opinion or give us your comment on our topic tonight. Is there anybody out there listening that would like to call in at 310-982-4126 and talk to us tonight, to the host? You just press 1 and come in and talk to us. Mother Hill, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, ladies.
Hey, Mother Hill.
Would you like to have something to say? Our time is about winding down. We have 10 minutes to wrap this up. So do you have a comment tonight?
Yes, I do. I was listening at the top just a minute ago, and I could understand, you know, ministers having flashy things. But then that makes the members think that they're giving him money. They don't know that he's doing for himself. All they see is what they got to give. And as far as now giving your W-2 forms and being told how much money that you have to give per year to be a member, I don't think that's right for the church. To me, they're
not
making a joke out of the church.
That's why some people go to different denominations, and you don't have to put money in the church if you don't want to put it in there. And the people that's upset because they don't have the same thing that the pastor has, they should go to them another church, because I feel like that's where in the Bible they start talking about jealousy and hate and envy and greed. And, you know, that kind of stuff goes in. That kind of stuff I learned in the Bible, you know. So, hey.
Yeah.
I suggest if a person is upset because the next person got something, then they should move along, because that's not right.
They can't grow, but let me interject here and tell you that if they see that and then they cannot prosper or they're doing bad, that makes the church, the pastor, look bad to them, and that's not what God intended for it to be like. He
that's
doesn't
what
want.
I'm saying. That's
an
emotional.
But the thing about
that's
it
an
is,
emotional thing. That's
But what
if I may,
yeah, you're right, that's emotional, but to a new Christian, to somebody who's trying to develop themselves with Christ and get a personal relationship, and then they see this pastor is doing this, and they've already put him up there and looked at him, but then all of a sudden, that's going to make them, shun that, and like you said, go to somewhere else, but That's what I'm saying. That shouldn't be. To me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
I can understand.
A person that's trying to be a new Christian should know if they have money inside their bank account or if they're going to go to work and get up and do what they need to do. This is real life we living in, y'all. And the Bible don't tell you to go and hide what you have in order to live and make other people happy. I just heard
that's
on Joel Osteen Sunday when I woke up, you're not supposed to worry about what other people, you're not supposed to just, you know what I'm saying, you're not supposed to just give, you're not supposed to be upset because somebody else has something. You're not supposed to do that because other people,
you have those
people.
Yeah, but you have those younger people, the new Christians, that don't understand that yet. So what you supposed to do about that?
If I may speak on that.
If I may answer that. I go to the First Free Will Baptist Church, and everybody in there got way more money than I got.
Wait, Deshaun. Wait. Hold on, Mother Hill.
I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
What would you suggest that a new Christian that sees all of this going on, and then they say, "Well, since he gonna be all flashy and he gonna all he wants is my money," which is this is what they're seeing, and they don't know that they making money off of their speaking engagements, their bookings, their whatever they do behind the scenes. What would you have? What would you tell them about that? What would you have to say about it?
I would tell them, but they're not going to believe it. I hear a lot of that right today, that they only want your money. And then for this to come up and be open on TV, that's just enforcing what they've been saying. Preacher always wants their money, you know, and it that's a difficult situation. Because you can't tell them any different.
If I may add that it's not just what an individual is stating that you want their money. When Mother Hill just got on the line a moment ago and stated about coming to a church, being a member of a new church home, if they're asking for your W-2s and they're asking and telling you how much you should be putting in there, now the Lord did say that the Bible does state to put 10%, but he also stated to give what you have. He didn't ask you to be open in despair. So there is a difference in what we all been talking about tonight. It's not about you being flashy. It's not about what another expectation of you is as a pastor and how you're supposed to give back to the individual. It's about coming in and being able to grow to that level. No one's jealous of that pastor because he has accumulated anything. But please don't try to tell that poor man that he has to give his week's check in order to go into your congregation. So nobody cares about what he really has. If we see it, we aspire to be like it. Oh, you know what? I'm going to be like T.D. Jakes. Let me join their ministry because I want to grow and be like that. But if you're doing that, you're doing it for the wrong reason. So, yes, you do go to different churches. Yes, you do move around. Yes, you do change from different time to time because you're not being fed. There is no one taking time to talk to that little person, that newcomer, and saying, hey, darling, let me show you how this person got this. Hey, darling, this is not what church is about. See, that's what the conversation originally was. It's like when you see it, what are you really seeing to the public?
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for right there.
Can I say something?
And going
go
to another church.
Wait, mother. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, what I want to interject is the ministers that I have seen that are doing all the fashion cuts, they actually do. Those members know where they make their funding from. In fact, they teach all types of seminars to their congregation to show them how to grow and prosper as well. They're not going to be blessed in their congregation by being all successful and not want that for their parishioners. They do know that their pastors are making their money from that, and they are. And their main purpose is to show. In fact, they focus on it more so because of their success than probably other churches do, and they take out the time to have seminars, classes, and show people and lead them and get the mentors to show them how they, too, can grow and be prosperous. So that does go on in the church, number one. And to the other lady's point, you're right. If you go to a church and somebody's requiring more of you than the 10% that the Bible says that you are supposed to give, then you don't need to be in that church. Stick with what the Bible says. Because God wants a cheerful giver. I don't care what you're giving.
That's
If you're struggling with that give, you can keep it because he don't need it. But the deal is, it's 10%, period. That's all, and that's it. And when somebody starts asking you for your W-2, and I've heard of some churches that
have you have to do a, they have to you have to sign up and have an automatic withdrawal that takes it from your account.
Like, oh, that's
you,
the devil.
Yeah. If you in the church like that, that you need to come up out of there, because that's not God. That's not scripture. That's not the Bible. They don't nowhere in there say you need to give your account number over to this church, so to make sure, you know, when you're forcing people to give, then you force them to not be cheerful givers. And so, yeah, and just like you said, you need to move around. If you that ain't for you, if some people roll with that, yeah, if some people want to roll with that, that's fine. But where I come from, you know, we take a one offering, that's it, you give, that's between you and God, you work it out, you give your 10% because you know that's what you're supposed to give and move it along. But to that point, yes, those people do know that their pastors made that money.
What about me? I sit in a church and then I'm one of the people, when they pray, they say, we pray for the people that gave and the people that had the desire to give,
had it not. God knows.
Yep.
And you know what? Let's be clear. That's right. And you can sow other ways. Sometimes God knows you don't have it, but sometimes you can sow in how you help a person with their time, and how you help somebody
else,
and how you spend time praying with them, and spending time
with
them. You can sow. That's right. Yeah, that's all about better than money sometimes, ain't it, sister? It is so true. You can sow in other ways. God, and no matter, if you have something to give and it's a blessing to somebody and it's from God and it's from your heart, trust me when I tell you, you have paid some tithes right there on the spot.
Okay, right.
And
yeah,
that's the bottom line. You can give without giving out the money. You can give without anyone else knowing it. And to the other point, with the Tula Moo point, she stated going to the churches and they're giving out the information, they're teaching you how to develop wealth and something that you can hold on to, something that they want to teach our black people or any other individual who is struggling with money. That's fine. My problem is when you have those seminars and you know that these people are really having money management issues and you're charging them $50, $70, $80, $90 to come here to speak. That resolves the issue. How can you help me by robbing from me?
Now that's
because
the way I feel.
Those churches aren't doing that. That's part of the church ministry. Again, that is part of the church ministry. They're not going to charge you, ask you for money you don't have when they're trying to show you to make money. That wouldn't even make sense. So what they do,
it's
just like
sense.
It doesn't make sense. So if you crazy enough to go to a meeting and give money you don't have to learn how to make money, but if it ain't right, if it ain't done in order, if it ain't scripture, don't do it.
The church has a bank in it and will give to the individuals, or you can qualify for a loan, but you're putting your people right back in debt and you're going to profit the church. That's the information that I'm stating.
Let me enlighten you at this present moment. I was just sitting here saying that this will be continued on next Monday night from 8 to 9 o'clock. My sister, my friend. So I would love to have all you ladies join us again next Monday night to continue this conversation and bring about that conversation that you are about to begin. Because we are down to our last 2 minutes, and I would like to thank you all for joining us tonight and enlightening our listeners and having this most healthy conversation, because I have truly enjoyed it, and you know it's real. Now, this is a real show. This is a real reality show. We are having real talk tonight, okay? And I thank you so much, each and every one of you, for joining us. The ones that are listening in, thank you so much for listening to us tonight. And we hope that on next Monday night you will join us and give us your comments, your intake, your opinions, because I know some of you that are listening got some. Yes, you have some opinions, and you have some comments that you want to make. As long as they're decent and in order, we're going to take them. We're not going to be mad.
All right.
We're not going to be upset about it. We want you to join us. And Mother Hill, would you go ahead and pray us out?
I think she just stepped out, Shonda.
She had to run.
Oh, yeah, she did drop. She did drop. Okay, well, Carol, you can go ahead and pray us out.
All right. Father God, we thank you for this evening's night of worship here on the radio. We hope that we may have said something, Lord Jesus, that brought honor to your name. I thank you for all my sisters here on the panel and all the wonderful contributions that they made tonight in this conversation. We hope that we were able to inform someone, lift someone up, or even intrigue someone to continue to come back and listen to us as we share in our topic, but as we also share in topics where we can try to just lift up the name of Jesus Christ. It is always our goal to do that in whatever topic we may have on this show tonight. So again, we say I thank you. May God bless everyone that was listening within the sound of this radio and beyond. And we just say may God bless you and keep you as you go along your way. And may God bless everyone on the panel tonight. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies, again. Amen.